Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Welcome back, listeners. This is the one and only Army Wife Talk Radio podcast, a podcast created for military spouses and their families. We are here to help you through your military journey with resources, information, and fun. This is episode number 941, and I'm your host, AWN's Director of Administration, Sarah Robichaud.
And I'm Amanda Bicknies, your Director of Empowerment, joining Sarah today. We're excited to share new information with you because that's our main focus, supporting you throughout your military life journey. We always have your back, and we're here to bring you the resources you need to thrive in your mill spouse life. Today, we will listen in to an interview conducted by AWN's Director of Content, Kathleen Palmer, as she chats with our guest, Sarah Lennox, from the Armed Forces Housing Advocates.
I'm so glad to be hosting with you this week, Amanda. How are things going for you this week?
Really well. I'm just getting super excited. We've had some snow here in Colorado, and I'm one of those like loves Christmas people. So I'm really just excited. Honestly, between the months of like October to really January, like beginning of January is when I feel just so excited. There's so much to celebrate. Mm-hmm. I now added in January because I have a son born. It used to end in December, but now it's still January with the new year. And then
my son,
yeah, exactly. He was born on the 4th. So now instead of like that lull of like, oh, it's all over, I get to celebrate a little bit more. So really just very excited about things. Enjoying the weather that we do have, even though it's really, really dry. But what about you? How are things going for you, Sarah?
Things are good. We are sort of readjusting to my husband coming home from a quick overseas TDY. So it was only for a week, but it's enough to just completely throw us off of our normal routine. So we're kind of resetting, but it's kind of a bit pointless at this point with the holidays, you know, looming so close. And I know you mentioned being excited for, you know, October through January, and I can really relate. I feel like this year, I didn't feel excited for Halloween. I just couldn't get into it. And I feel the same way for Thanksgiving, and I'm just ready for Christmas this year. You know, I'm not usually one of those people who's decorating before Thanksgiving, but this year that is definitely me. And then I'm kind of the opposite of you. By the time Christmas is done, I am like kind of burnt out from all the holiday busyness and
understandable.
And I'm just like ready to be done with it. But then I also have to turn around to my husband and my daughter both have birthdays in January and we have our wedding anniversary. So we get like no downtime between Christmas and then rolling right into the January holidays too. So it is a lot, but it is kind of fun. I like your mentality that it just, you know, we just keep celebrating into January.
Yes. Well, my mother-in-law, so both my husband and his brother, they're both January babies. And so when I had my son in January, she was like, it's not exciting. But I was like, no, I want to view it as just extending the party, you know? That's because I love celebrating all the things. Probably yeah. Why I'm Director of Empowerment.
It's a good role for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been so great catching up with you, Sarah. And listeners, it is time for a quick empowerment minute. Afterwards, we will hear all about this week's top stories and need-to-know news from our well-informed News 6 correspondent, Emma Tai.
Hello, listeners. It's Amy Fisher, your Deputy Director of Empowerment, just stopping by with a quick word of encouragement. How many new military spouses do we have lately? I would love to be able to meet you all in person, but since I can't, I just want to at least encourage you and say, get out there, go to some coffees, join your FRG, and try to make some new friends. And check out our blog. We have a band of bloggers that are very experienced, and they have really great articles in just about every topic you can imagine. So if you're going to go to your first coffee or a hail and farewell, and you're not sure what to do, you are not alone. Okay, I was the spouse that was watching TV shows. Back in the day, we didn't really have but one or two blogs, and I was grateful for what I could find. But we have one that is actually written by our etiquette team. And you can type in etiquette, and it will show up and tell you what to wear, what to bring as a hostess gift, and all the other things that will help you along in your journey. And if not, you can always reach out to us, and we promise we will get back to you with answers. All right, so... And remember, if you need any help or tips, reminders, we are here for you. Reach out to one of us. You know the platforms, Army Wife Network, everywhere, on Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, and we promise somebody will get back to you and lead you in the right direction because we're all in this together.
No news is typically good news in this military life, except on Army Wife Talk Radio. Here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Thanks, Sarah and Amanda. Howdy, y'all, and buckle up for this week's News 6 update. If the bra fits, issue it. We all know the Army issues everything but a spouse and the kitchen sink for incoming service members. But for female soldiers, noticeably missing from the list has always been bras. Instead, they are given an allotment and sent to the nearest post exchange for their undergarments. Not only that, but it has been a concern for years that while service members are given flame and weather-resistant top and underclothing, bras have never been included. That may soon change as the Combat Capabilities Development Command Soldier Center, or DEVCOM, has come up with 4 prototypes for combat sports bras for female military members. These bras carry important features such as flame-resistant materials, a dog tag pouch, a front zipper for medical emergencies, and breathable mesh, which is imperative for female soldiers in training or war zones going days without changing. More than 200 female soldiers are testing the brassieres, and the results will be brought to the Army Uniform Board on December 7th. Lead designer Annette Lafleur told ABC News that the less that they can think about what they're wearing and focus on their mission or their training, the easier it's going to be for them. Sounds like they're hard at work on every woman's dream sports bra, and no one deserves them more than our female service members. Find out more at abcnews.com. 3 soldiers save lives at Seoul Halloween tragedy. Jarmil Taylor, Dane Beathard, and Jerome August, 3 U.S. soldiers stationed at Camp Casey, South Korea, went to Seoul on October 30th to celebrate Halloween. Instead, they found themselves assisting in a terrifying disaster. Originally a Halloween street party, things took a scary turn when the crowd grew too big and started to surge. Immediately seeing the danger, these 3 friends began to pull people out of the crowd. An unidentified South Korean man told the local Yonhap News that an American soldier rescued him from the crowd as if pulling radishes from a field. They were not the only U.S. service members to rush to the scene to aid. Military police from Yongsan Garrison were originally there as a courtesy patrol, but found themselves providing first aid and helping with crowd control. We are proud of our military service members always, but are even more so, and not surprised, when they answer the call to help in the face of tragedy, whether they are on duty or off. Learn more at stripes.com. DoD gives Hawaii military schools a financial boost. The Department of Defense Education Activity, or DEDEA for short, has granted $5 million to military-connected schools in Hawaii. These grants help to improve educational resources in our public schools in Hawaii that support military family here in Hawaii, Colonel Steve McGonigal, U.S. Army Garrison Hawaii Commander, said in a news release. Investing in our keiki, or kids in Hawaiian, is incredibly important, and these grants help demonstrate the importance of our public school system and the education it provides. The grant is split up into 3 districts. $2 million is for the Aiea Monalua Radford Complex area, $2 million for the Kailua Kalieho Complex area, $1 million for the Leluhua, Mililani, Wailua, and Campbell Kapolei Complex areas. These grants are given in the support of closing education gaps, promoting continuity for military children, and providing academic programs to keep our military kids academically competitive. Happy studying, Keiki! Here's to you surfing into a prosperous academic future. Learn more at AmericanMilitaryNews.com. Today in history, A spacecraft orbits another planet for the first time on November 14th in 1971. NASA's Mariner 9 reached Mars orbit after 167 days in space. Unfortunately, despite orbiting around the planet for 15 minutes, a sizable dust storm prevented the Mariner 9 from taking any usable pictures. You know the feeling when you think you just got the perfect shot of your kid's winning soccer goal, only to find out your phone was on selfie mode? Just me? Anyway, I bet this was worse. That's all for me. This is Emma Tye with News 6, signing out.
Thank you, Emma, for always seeking out the most relevant news for us each week. We always learn something new. Now we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we return, we will hear from Kathleen and this week's guest, Sarah Lennox. Stay tuned.
2022 marks AWTR's 17th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 850 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcast app of your choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
Welcome, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Kathleen Palmer, your AWN Director of Content, and I can't wait to bring you today's empowering episode. It's no secret that military families are constantly reinventing what home means to them. The state of the military housing has long been a topic of discussion and a need that must be addressed to improve the quality of life for our active duty families. Today's guest, Sarah Lennox, is the Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Armed Forces Housing Advocates, also known as AFHA. And she shares how they are moving the needle in the fight for safe housing for military members and their families. Impassioned by her own family's battle for a safe and habitable home while being stationed in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Sarah dedicates her free time to advocacy. She is an active duty spouse, Army, and mother to 3-year-old boy. Sarah, welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So I guess we're going to jump right in for our listeners who may not know much about your organization. So what exactly or who is AFHA or AFHA as it is known, I guess, throughout the Army community now?
Yeah, we like to say AFHA. Some people will say AFHA, but we are the Armed Forces Housing Advocates. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We are 100% women and veteran founded. And we are a completely remote agency. So we operate across the entire nation to include Alaska and Hawaii from different little corners of our installations where the founders and the directors are located.
I went on the website a little bit and I looked at the founders and everybody that was involved. And you have quite a great staff or, you know, a subject matter expert. You've got a lot of things going on. But I love that you call it empowerment advocacy. That is our favorite word here at AWN. But I love the mama bear tenacity quote that's in your founders part of the page. So What is empowerment advocacy to AFHA?
So empowerment advocacy is what we refer to as our method of education that we provide to residents of MHPI housing with our volunteer force. So we exist to provide the residents with education about their rights, namely the Tenants' Bill of Rights, as well as the informal and formal dispute processes that exist to help tenants in their housing situations. And by doing that, our volunteers, through our grassroots efforts, our volunteers reach out to the residents who need an advocate by their side and don't know what to do. And we give them that education so that they can learn how to advocate for themselves. Because in most cases, Army families, Navy families across all the branches will live in installation housing or MHPI housing throughout the duration of that service member's career. So it's really important that if it's your first time dealing with an issue, that you know how to deal with it should it come up again throughout your service member's tenure.
Okay. And just for our listeners' benefit, could you tell us what the acronym MHPI actually stands for?
Yes. So MHPI is the Military Housing Privatization Initiative. And that is what you know military housing as today. So whether or not you are actually located behind the gates on the installation, I know that some communities, we have one here at Bragg actually that is in Cameron, North Carolina, just a little bit north of the installation, but is still considered privatized housing only for the qualifying military families and DOD contractors alike.
Is that Linden Oaks that's up there?
Linden Oaks, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so it is what we refer to as, or what colloquially is referred to as, on-post housing, base housing, or just military housing.
Okay, and that also includes, just to clarify, because we talked a little bit about this before we hopped on, is overseas housing too, because even though they have different contracts over there, you still include those bases as well. Is that correct or no?
Yes, depending on the location.
Okay. All right, listeners, I just wanted to clarify that in case you're at a base right now, wondering if you're in the loop there. So let's move into the kind of housing problems that your organization addresses for military families. Can you maybe give a range of those type of housing issues?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest ones that we see commonly are things like environmental hazard issues, famously mold problems, but that's not limited only to mold. We've also advocated for lead and asbestos, sewage leaks, the need for clean water. We also address things like window falls, cases of children tragically falling out of windows that are where the sill is too close to the floor in the house without proper safeguards. Reasonable accommodations for military families with disabilities, as well as Fair Housing Act and PCS homelessness.
Well, and the falling out of windows, when you said that too, when I read about that on the website, I was surprised at the sheer number of children who have fallen out of windows in military housing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is disproportionate to those in the civilian sector. So this is a problem that is unique to MHPI housing.
That's interesting, because, you know, when I think of the housing issues, you might immediately think of mold. That usually is the one that pops up. And of course, with Camp Lejeune and the Hawaii incident, there's a lot of water contamination issues. But the falling out of windows, and it makes sense, too, though, when I started to read some of the cases, it is a little scary.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. Fortunately, though, one of our successes within the timeframe that we've been open, and we've been open for just about 18 months now, has been advocating for legislative change to Evans Law, which pertains to window safety, so that military families do not need to pay out of pocket for the proper safeguards to be installed on those windows that are constructionally defective, too close to the floor on a second story, so that we can help prevent more children from falling out of windows in military housing.
Wow. That's pretty amazing, especially your organization hasn't been around that much that long. And for the amount of things that you have been able to get done, kind of shows you the sheer power of military spouses right there. You guys have done, I think it's over 1,000 family, helping 1,000 families since May of 2021 is what it says on your website. It's amazing.
We're up to and counting. Our cases roll in every single day. Weekly, I think our numbers are about 15 to 20, but over 1,600 families in about 18 months. Yes.
It's so amazing. And as an older spouse, and I don't mind saying that about myself, and there's a lot of our listeners that have been around for a while, it is incredible the amount of probably issues that could have been resolved. But even back then, if, you know, this had existed to help, you know, you kind of just were said, just shut up and take it type mentality. And that isn't the case anymore. It's pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, definitely not the case. We are loud and proud about what we do in order to help our families and to help move the needle in the conversation about the solution to this. And that is building in proper oversight over the MHPI program.
So walk me through like a scenario a little bit. So like, if I have an issue with housing, and like, when does your organization come in? I see on your frequently asked questions, you have an advocacy button where you can request advocacy for certain issues. So when do you usually get involved in a case, so to speak?
It'll vary from case to case, depending on the way that the person has found us or found the website. But typically, trying to think of a very average case specific to the ones that I've taken myself. Generally speaking, though, it is after several work order requests have been placed with the privatized housing company, and to no avail, the resident has either not had the solution to their problem properly addressed or has been ignored entirely. So we will take their case, We'll do a thorough discovery call to determine all of the steps that have been taken thus far. Who's involved? Who's been contacted? Is the service member's chain of command aware of the issues that they've been having? How long have they been dealing with those issues in the home? And we assess from there where the need is, and we help them communicate back to the privatized housing company and engage their MHO office on the installation to try to get them some solution.
Well, that's pretty incredible right there, Sarah, because I mean, I imagine even as a younger spouse, some of our younger spouses, you know, like you put in the work order, you put in the complaint or whatever it might be with the housing. And sometimes people just wait and they're waiting for a response back or waiting for a response back. And when you don't get those, you need that extra help. And I think that's where you come in, kind of the transparency issue of it, to keep everything above board.
Yeah, absolutely. And transparency, that's a great word. That's a one that we're definitely a fan of. Transparency is definitely needed. We also always advise our tenants to keep a paper trail and document everything as much as possible, to keep correspondence in writing, and then to loop in the service member's chain of command when appropriate as well, so that they can understand what's going on in their service members' lives and families. And it's especially hard too when service members are away for trainings or on deployments. It is mostly the spouses who are the ones to reach out to us needing the help and needing the education about where to go, who to turn to, what to do if they're not getting the resolution when only dealing at the lowest level with the privatized housing company.
You're exactly right. I mean, we talk about military readiness and all these different areas, and it's like, you know, like if a soldier's downrange and his family is suffering, you know, it's really hard to keep that soldier on mission. So I think that's a great way to look at it, that you're looking at it from all perspectives in that way. So kudos to y'all. That's amazing.
Thank you. That is why we say readiness starts with a safe home, because frankly, it does become a national security issue when soldiers and all other service members, of course, we're talking on Army Wife Network and I'm an Army Wife.
So okay. We have a wide
I'm going to think in the Army perspective, but really this problem is systemic and widespread across all the branches. So we'll say service members. When the service members' families are suffering in an unsafe or uninhabitable home while they're away on duty, that impacts their readiness, that impacts the mission and the stability of that soldier to perform his or her job, you know? And then in addition to readiness, there's also a retention problem that we're seeing. It's very difficult to recruit just for the Army right now. I believe I had seen an article this past year that the Army missed its recruitment numbers by the thousands. And housing is supposed to be a service that soldiers and service members can count on for their families and incentivize them to want to serve the country. And if the homes are unsafe, uninhabitable, and as dilapidated as they are, it's not very enticing to newer service members and younger service members with families to want to actually serve their country if they can't trust where they're living.
No, and they're young too, so they may not even have an experience about how to fight back or how to, you know, how to make things happen. So definitely glad that you are in the mix with this now. I think that's super important. I want to switch gears a little bit to talk about you, Sarah. So how has this volunteer experience, and it is volunteer, it sounds like a full-time job because it probably almost is, but how does the volunteering with APA, how does that shape your life?
Yeah, so it is in addition to what I like to call my day job, but really it is on our own time. Our directors, founders, and advocates, we are all 100% a volunteer force. So as of right now, none of us take a salary for what we do. We are just that impassioned to this type of work. And the way that it's shaped my life is, to be quite honest, it's shaped our experience as a newer military family. And it has helped me connect with my community. When my husband joined, he joined just before COVID. And when we first moved here, COVID had just hit, and it was very difficult with all of the lockdowns to really integrate into my new community. So moving away from my home in our home state of Pennsylvania to a new state, to a new community, not having met anyone or known anyone just yet, finding AFA throughout what our family lived through in military housing, and then connecting with the other volunteers locally and across the country has just transformed my life entirely. And I now have what I consider like a network, what I consider to be my other family, like my work family, that I otherwise didn't necessarily have in my immediate local area. So it's just amazing the way that we've been able to operate and connect to each other from all the corners of the country, just from our phones, just from social media and digitally. But it's just as engaging, I think, as any other type of involvement. I work professionally remotely too. So much of my experience connecting with people happens over the internet and happens digitally. But that's not to say that it's any less of a human experience than just volunteering at your local SFRG unit or what have you.
Yeah. And it's just the shape of the way things are changing too. Now, I'm not sure if you've touched on this in other interviews, but like did your personal experience, you've alluded to it, but could you briefly maybe tell us about how you got involved in this whole advocacy to begin with?
Yeah, of course. I love sharing our story. So I reached out because I needed an advocate when we were living on post on Fort Bragg. Within the first couple of weeks of living there, my son at that time, he had just turned one. So he was about 14, 15 months old when he started developing symptoms of chronic respiratory illness. And that continued throughout the entire year that we lived in on-post housing. We had been through countless doctor's visits, a couple of different allergy medications that did not quell his symptoms. It was to no avail that we could ever actually get him better, so much so that it was nearly every other week that he was being sent home from daycare because of COVID still being more prevalent and a lot of the restrictions were pretty heavy. So it started impacting my ability to work and maintain an income. I lost wages because I had to stay home and care for my son and couldn't necessarily sign on for work that day because he was so sick. Finally,
so frustrating.
Down to us putting in a work order request, requesting a life health safety inspection on the home for mold. And they had found severe water damage and a broken sump pump in the crawl space of our house. And to those of you who might not know or aren't familiar with crawl spaces, I came to learn that your crawl space accounts for nearly 50% of the air that you breathe in your house. So he was severely impacted from the environment that he was living in. And we had started to suspect that it was his environment because anytime that we had traveled home to visit with family for a couple weeks here and there throughout the year, his symptoms would dissipate within days of being out of that house. So we knew then that there was something amiss, something was definitely wrong. And I trusted my instinct in sticking to that. And at that time, I wasn't getting very far with Corvius, the privatized housing company. So I reached out to AFA and requested an advocate. And that's pretty much where it all took off from there. Eventually, we were able to break our lease and move off post. That's when we moved to Rayford. My son recovered quickly from the time that we were displaced. We were displaced for nearly 60 days, and we had to send him to live with his grandparents where he could recover. And so upon reuniting in an off-post home, he pretty much had a full recovery and went back to normal.
Oh, Sarah, that makes me so happy. That must have been so frustrating for y'all all that time trying to get him better. But again, maybe those paths lead you to what you're supposed to be doing. And here you are fighting for other families. So that's just amazing. What a story.
It's so rewarding. It is so rewarding. The word impassioned, I believe we used earlier, is exactly how I felt. Once we were considered case closed, we were in a safe home, my son was recovering. I really just wanted to give back and help the greater community toward progress and making a change. Because once I had learned after working with AFA how not unique this issue was to just my family, that this is a systemic military-wide issue, I wanted to be a part of that solution. And I'm just so grateful that I found them.
Wow. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing that story and your insights and all your experiences with AFA. When we return, we're going to talk about the future for AFA and how you personally can get involved. Listeners, if you'd like to learn more about what AFA is up to, visit their website at afhousingadvocates.org or connect with them on social media via Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at AFA.org. Don't worry if you miss AFA's social media handles or anything else. The links will always be in our show notes. Stay tuned for the rest of our interview with Sarah Lennox after our commercial break. We will be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotions, podcast audio commercials, Facebook Lives, and so much more. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with Sarah Lennox from Armed Forces Housing Advocates. Sarah, before the break, well, first of all, your story still is hitting me pretty hard because I can't imagine how many people like have had health issues and they just, you know, they were ongoing and they probably were related to something like that. And they didn't, you know, they didn't know to even fight or where to fight. So I'm so grateful that your organization is there. So thank you for sharing that. And I hope some of our listeners really connected with that and are able to keep that in mind when things go forward. But I want to talk a little bit about the future of your organization. So I know you said it just keeps growing the number of cases and things you're doing. So where do you see APA heading like in the next year or two?
Next year or two, I definitely foresee our volunteer force growing in numbers. Advocates are needed all across the nation. And it's helpful that we have people who are locally tied to the installations, but it's not necessary, right? Because like I had mentioned before, we're 100% digital and remote operating. But mm-hmm. as we gain traction with the amount of cases that roll in, so do our inquiries from people who are just as impassioned as I was of how do I help? How do I get involved? And we're always taking interviews and we're ready to get people set up for success if they want to become advocates themselves. We train, we provide the education. We have a wonderful group on Slack that we use to connect with each other as a team. And there's a lot of camaraderie within the AFA organization as well. So there are plenty of opportunities to volunteer and get involved. And most people are able to do volunteerism through AFA just from their phone, because the bulk of it is really just communicating with people over text, over phone call or email. So that's the benefit of being a modern digital organization, I guess.
Well, that kind of led into my next question is, how has the digital landscape changed the way military spouse community connects? You've already touched on that a couple ways too, but I think that's a real big thing now, is because you can reach so many people in such a short period of time.
Yeah, just the ease of communication, the way that information is spread nowadays through the internet and through social media. I think that although virtually, we can become closer than ever, right? So we're right. able to connect directly with our target audiences. We're able to connect directly with residents who need help. And we're able to connect with each other as colleagues and spouses who want to network and have the aptitude for building their community. So I would say that change over the past mm-hmm. several years, particularly with COVID, with people leaning towards Zoom calls like we're on right now, and the virtual working world provides us with the opportunity to just connect within our communities near and far and keep in touch whenever we PCS and we move all across the country and the world. We still have our network right at our fingertips.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for these old military spouses like myself who we didn't have the internet when I was first became a military wife. So, I mean, I literally remember being at Fort Knox and the housing director told us no more than 5 nails in a wall. I mean, literally that was like the norm for housing. You couldn't do more than 5 nail hooks in one wall. That was in your contract. So So this actually just seems incredible the way that you guys can go to battle for each other, you know, and help out each other in all different areas. So it's just amazing. Now, you said that your listeners can help or they can volunteer. So do you have a specific like field or something that you're looking for in your volunteers?
Pretty much anyone who has the time that they can put in and the communication skills, access to internet and phone. And it's, of course, helpful to be familiar with the military and the military community, but we don't limit ourselves necessarily to that. We have a number of people on our board and who assist us who aren't necessarily tied to the military community just the way that spouses are. But of course, spouses make great advocates too, right? They can reach out to us on socials or info@afhousingadvocates.org if they want to learn more about the volunteer opportunities that we have.
Okay, great. I hope our listeners take you up on that. There is such an incredible talent in the military spouse pool. And because of, you know, the moves and the transitions, maybe they're not working in the area they want to work in. But I find, like you, volunteering and doing your thing for a nonprofit or something else is really, it's empowering. And I think that's a good way to start.
Putting in the hours to learn something new, just enhancing your learnability, is a marketable skill as well. If anyone out there is looking for ways to get involved volunteering in between jobs or in between returning to work after having a period of being off due to your spouse's military service, whatever it may be, there's always plenty of opportunity to learn and grow. And all of us learn and grow every single day because this landscape is also constantly changing. And being a part of that change also helps us learn and enhance our own careers.
Well, I'm on to my final question, which I'm almost embarrassed to ask now because I think that you embody this completely. So I don't know if you have another answer, but our mission at Army Wife Network, of course, is empowerment. That's what we do. And so we always ask our guests, the last question is, how would you complete this sentence? Empowerment is blank.
To me, empowerment is like the kinetic energy of the individual and of the community that drives lasting progress and change.
Wow, kinetic energy. I love that. You definitely you definitely have that going on for you, sister.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sarah, I'm so impressed. I feel like the future of military spouse life is in good hands with all of you young people who are super fired up and smart. And I just thank you so much for coming on our show and sharing all the information that AFA has about military housing. And we thank you for serving our military community, both as a spouse and a mom, and also, you know, as for what you do with AFA. So thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you again to today's guest, Sarah Lennox, military spouse. And let's hand it over back to our host to hear what they have to say about military housing and our conversation with Sarah and her organization, AFA.
Well, as Sarah said, empowerment is the kinetic energy of the individual and of the community that drives lasting progress and change. Sarah hit the nail right on the head. Thank you again to Sarah Lennox for joining us this week to talk about the amazing resource that is the Armed Forces Housing Advocates. Once again, if you would like to connect with Sarah and the Armed Forces Housing Advocates, you can find them online at afhousingadvocates.org and on social media at afha.org. Amanda, what stood out to you most about Kathleen's interview with Sarah?
Oh, wow. So many good things. Touching base on advocacy and more of the serious part of it that really stood out to me. I want to say at first, like when she shared her experience that she's had with AFHA or AFA, It really reminded me of my personal experience here at Army Wife Network. She had, you know, talked about the military spouse, like support and empowerment, and that she's had this connection now and kind of like another family or network that she has in the military community. And I totally feel that. And so I really loved having that connection with her there, but also like, just wow. I mean, to the seriousness of how she shared that there's children falling out of windows and that It's disproportionate to children in the civilian sector. And I was I didn't even know that was a thing.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And so, wow, just knowing to advocate for yourself in housing, I think is really the most important part of her message. And hearing Sarah share about their experience at Fort Bragg, where her son had a chronic respiratory illness, you know, for, I think she said almost a year, from mold and water damage. Like, I can't even fathom that. And so that story just hit me really hard. And thinking about what all the families have gone through and other families. And I mean, I'm kind of fortunate. My husband actually, from the very beginning when he joined, when he was in the Army, That's so weird to say now that he's not in the Army in the Space Force, but yeah, I was always like, oh, should we live on post? You know, like we'll get to know other families. And to me, it was something really exciting to build community. And my husband was always like, no, I've heard horror stories. It can be really stressful. Like, let's just do our own thing outside of the base. And, you know, I trusted him that he knew more. And so we've actually never experienced living on post before. Okay. And so hearing what everybody else has gone through was just shocking and all the things to me. What about you, Sarah? Have you experienced any of that?
I unfortunately have. The story of her son really resonated with me because I also went through a period of my life where we lived on base four times out of our six duty stations. And this one base in particular, I also had a respiratory illness for about 18 months. It would just, you know, it never seemed to go away. And, you know, I've had asthma my whole life. And so I just assumed it was related to that. But after 18 months of it just never going away, I finally, you know, I had asked housing if I could get my, you know, maybe it was my air ducts that were dirty and they refused because that was not a service that they provided. And eventually I had to advocate for myself and get a doctor's note. I had to find a doctor who performed, you know, some tests on my lungs and concluded that it probably was the air quality in my home and was able to take that note to the housing office. And they finally agreed to send someone out to clean my air ducts. And lo and behold, my air ducts were filthy, dirty. And, once they cleaned them out, magically the respiratory issue disappeared and never came back. So it was 100% linked to the house. And if I had not advocated for myself and really fought for that, it never would have happened. And I would have just spent that whole duty station being sick. So I really like their whole idea of empowerment advocacy, teaching military spouses how to advocate for themselves in these situations, because you can't always rely on your service member to be there to help you advocate for your family's needs. And sometimes you do have to stick up for yourself. You know, I'm not here to bash military housing. There is a lot of, you know, truly great on-base communities that we've been a part of. But I am certainly grateful that an organization like AFA exists to help support spouses and their families who might be living in, you know, subpar situations for their families.
Oh, yes. I could not agree more. Honestly, this whole interview was really eye-opening for me. And so I'm so glad we got to hear about AFA and their resources and that they now exist and have helped so many families just within 18 months. And so listeners, be sure to check them out, advocate for yourself. And speaking of which, as far as, you know, military life resources, we've got this week's Resource Recon, which is all about our latest social media scoop. So if you haven't noticed, Army Wife Network has been posting under the hashtag thankful, but it's thankful with AWN in the middle for the month of November. We are highlighting people, experiences, and things that our team members are just so grateful for. And as we do enter in this holiday season that Sarah and I are embracing, there are just so many of us that we get bombarded with additional things to do, what to take care of, and it can feel really overwhelming sometimes, especially if your spouse is deployed or working those long hours. So minor things like shopping, wrapping, classroom parties, decorating cookies, visiting Santa, and addressing an endless pile of envelopes for the mail can be very stressful. So please remember, it's important to take time to slow down, rest, and remember the things that you are thankful for in your life. Sarah, I know you've probably already posted on our Instagram, but what are you thankful for during this season of your life?
Oh gosh, there is a lot to be thankful for, and it is definitely important to just remember to slow down during this busy season. But for me, I am always grateful every holiday season when my husband is home, safe and sound, and not off in someplace dangerous, away from our family, and because we have spent a lot of holidays apart. So I'm always thankful for that. And I am also thankful that we are not PCSing over the holidays, which we have done several times, and I do not recommend it because it is a lot to handle over the holidays. So I'm thankful that we are all settled in and we are not going anywhere this December.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we made the mistake of, we didn't even have a PCS, but since we found out we would be stationed here longer, since my husband switched branches, we bought a house and we ended up moving the first week of December. Well, I was 9 months pregnant, you know, like that was I'm glad it all worked out and we're in our new home with our family and it is wonderful. And so I am grateful for that. But yeah, I definitely, for those of you who are moving or PCSing this holiday season, like my heart goes out to you. I know the struggle. So
yes. Well, I may be a little biased, but I think our social media is super fun and engaging. Listeners, if you're interested in staying up to date and entertained with our videos, giveaways, and trivia, please find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram at Army Wife Network.
Our final amazing resource for today is our Empowerment Patrol Platoon Member of the Month, which is also known as our Top Fan of Army Wife Network, presented by yours truly. Check it out. Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bickneys bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today we are showcasing our Platoon Member of the Month, who is someone recognized for being a positive influence and supporting us on our social media accounts. This month's recipient is Tina McRae, who was nominated for being so supportive and empowering to fellow mill spouses and on our social media. Tina McRae is a 44-year-old born into an Air Force family who at the age of 17 switched teams and became an Army wife to her amazing husband, Rashawn. They have four incredible kids, two sons and two daughters. Rashawn has been active duty since he enlisted on Tina's birthday a few months before they met in Philadelphia, but is currently AGR. As he closes in on 30 years active federal, Rashawn is on his path to retirement at JBMDL in New Jersey. During their almost 27-year marriage, they have PCS'd 7 times and weathered a few deployments. While stationed at Fort Wadsworth in Staten Island, Tina helped to open and organize a 6-unit empty housing building to accept and distribute donations for military families affected by Superstorm Sandy. COVID-19 was one of the hardest times for their family because for the first time, her husband was a Geo Bachelor, while their youngest two finished high school. And that was very new to them, especially when travel bans were placed and he was unable to come home. Like most families navigating 2 high school students and a special needs child, virtual schooling was a huge challenge. However, as other military spouses, she learned to rise to any challenge. One of their favorite pastimes is to travel to Orlando and enjoy Disney World. Recently, Tina began vlogging about all the wonderful military offerings and savings in Disney and Orlando-based attractions called the Travel Life of T. Being able to travel to places her kids still love as much today as they did when they were little brings her extreme joy, and she cherishes every trip. As a stay-at-home mom and full-time caregiver to their son, she always felt it was her duty to give her soldier a special warm place outside of his military obligations that were loving, fun, and filled with laughter. She has always gotten great joy at lending a hand and mentoring the new generation of mill spouses, as she believes we are the force behind the force. Tina has spent years teaching military spouses how to coupon efficiently and save those hard-earned paychecks, allowing for an improved quality of life. Raising a son with autism has made her work even harder to help military families navigate their way around a diagnosis and to ensure they are being amazing advocates for their own children. Their son has taught their family more empathy and compassion than she ever thought possible, and her other children are impeccable siblings, so they couldn't be prouder. As Rashawn sets his sights on retirement, which is a new territory for their family, Tina looks forward to continuing their connection as retirees of military life and the new relationships that come with it. She shares she can only take credit as the amazing Army wife she is all because of the magnificent mentor she has had as a young Army wife whose knowledge was invaluable. Being an Army wife has been one of the most significant, rewarding, and proudest times of her life, and she is honored to wear the badge of Army wife. So very happy to recognize you, Tina. We truly appreciate your support on our network. And I thank you again for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey. Congratulations, Tina. I'll be in touch with you soon to hook you up with some fabulous Army Wife Network swag. Also, you'll now have a permanent place on our website in our Empowerment Gallery. Thanks so much for your engagement with our network.
Amanda, as always, I have enjoyed talking with you today, but we're nearing the end of our episode, and I want to thank our listeners for sticking with us to the end. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Also, be sure to catch a different flavor of our podcast dropping each Thursday when our team members will share their own MilSpouse journeys to empower you with our MilSpouse Empowerment Moment. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can keep up with any future episodes, like our next full-length podcast when we listen to Kathleen's interview with Ms. Silene Mullen, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs. I need to set a reminder for myself because I do not want to miss that one.
And one more very important note, if you know someone that may want to connect with our listeners and join us in our mission to empower military families, let's chat. Send us an email over to empower@armywifenetwork.com and we'll get that conversation started.
Lastly, please remember that we are here to help you navigate your military life journey. No matter what comes your way, Army Wife Network is ready to help you out. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.